Man. Yeah. All right. Before we get into the word today, let's do a quick spiritual health check, okay? So, you know, safe place, no one's going to judge you here. Who's doing really well in your relationship with God right now? Yes. One, two, three, yeah. A few people, kind of. What does that mean? Kind of well. All right. Who's doing, like, kind of okay with God? Yeah, you're raising your hand again. All right. Kind of okay. Who's doing bad in their relationship with God? Yeah? A couple of honest people. What was that? Was that like a yes?
It was like in between.
In between? Okay. Like non-existent relationship? No? All right. Everyone's at least there. Okay, that's good. I wasn't singling you out. Don't worry, Craig. All right? I really wasn't. All right. I think it's always good every now and then to do like a bit of a health check on yourself. You know, we do a lot of things where we like, you know, every morning we wake up, we get ready to go out wherever we go, right? Unless you're just at home all the time, right? Like you get ready to go to work, you get ready to go to an interview maybe, or, you know, get ready to go to uni, right? And you don't want to look horrible. You know, you don't want to just get out of bed and look exactly like you do, right? Does anyone wake up like exactly the way you're looking right now? Besides Richard, besides my wife, yeah. I won't keep you accountable to that. Like, Yeji, you do? You stay exactly the same forever? No? Oh, really? Is today one of those days? Okay, all right, you don't have to answer. Okay, okay, good. Yeah, Monica's like... Yeah, usually we at least check the mirror once before we head out, right? Like, we usually at least check, man, do I have anything stuck in my teeth? Do I have any, like, every morning I wake up, no matter what I do, so I wash my hair at night these days, because Bora hates the way my hair smells at the end of the day, right? Like, this is a little bit TMI, but, like, basically it smells horrible. And so I wash my hair every night, I dry it before I go to bed, and so that my, you know, pillow doesn't get all moldy, I guess, one day. But, like, every morning I wake up and my hair, like, the front seems okay, and then the back is just like this, and it just stands up all the way. I have hair that stands up really straight. You know, I don't know if you guys have the same problem as I do. Guys with longer hair probably won't, okay? You don't have to shake your head at me, yeah. I know if you have longer hair, it just stays down. But, like, some of you guys, your hair might just stand up all the time, right? And so if I didn't check the mirror, I probably wouldn't know. You know, I do wash before I go out, though, so it's okay. But most of the time, we check the mirror at least once. And so I think it's sometimes really good to check the spiritual mirror every now and then and see how we're doing. Because otherwise, we don't really know. We just kind of go day to day. We just go week to week, Sunday by Sunday. And we feel like everything's okay. You know, we don't really think. We think kind of abstractly about our relationship with God sometimes. We're just like, yeah, God's there. There's a relationship with Him. It's about it, you know, and then we just move on. But it's always good to take account of how you're doing. We do this thing every year. I don't know if you guys participate in this or if it's more of an old person thing, but we make like New Year's resolutions beginning of every year, right? Or even like the night before. Like, does anyone not make resolutions? Yeah, a few of you guys. Have you ever made a resolution? Those guys that are raising your hand. Yeah, you guys have. Why have you guys stopped?
You always break it.
You always break it? Very honest, yeah. You guys always break it, right? Like, of the guys that, you know, do continue to make resolutions, have you guys kept your resolutions? Is there one that you've kept at least? No? No? Yeah. It's hard. Like, one of the biggest resolutions we make every year is fitness, right? Like, I gotta get fit. You know, I'm gonna make sure I'm pretty fit, you know. It doesn't even have to do with, like, looking good half the time, but it just has to do with at least being healthy, you know, going to the gym every now and then. You know, it's one of those resolutions that we make. How long do you go before you break that resolution, for those of you guys who have made resolutions?
3 days.
3 days? January 4th. January 3rd?
January
3rd. January 3rd, yes.
Got sick.
Oh, you got sick? Okay.
I'll stop for the rest of the year.
It's very bad sickness. Yeah, you got the itis there. Yeah. Oh, did that actually happen?
Because I was like,
was like, new year, new me, and I sent like Snapchat, 3 days, and I was like, I'm sick, I can't go tonight. And then like, so I paused my gym membership until July.
Okay. Man, okay, I thought that was a joke when you said 3 days. I didn't know it was a real event. All right, yeah. 3 days. Can anyone beat 3 days? Has anyone gone shorter than 3 days? No, it kind of lasts a little bit longer, right? Sometimes, you know, sometimes we tend to go at least like 1 week to the gym, 2 weeks to the gym. Maybe not for some of you guys, right? The gym is one of those things. Like, does anyone here go to the gym regularly?
Craig does.
Craig does?
Yeah, he does.
I didn't know you'd be here tonight, so I didn't pick this topic on purpose. But like, basically with the gym, who are the people that end up always going to the gym? Like, they end up committing to the gym. Who are those people? Don't say Craig, but like, who are those people? Like, the characteristics of these people?
Narcissistic.
No. Okay. More. Narcissistic, okay. Yeah, that's one of them. I didn't expect that. Yeah, what else?
Sorry. Diligent.
Diligent,
hard
yes.
Working.
Hard working.
No pain, no gain style of life.
Yes. All of these things describe Craig perfectly, yes. Well, there's other things, right? There are those things where if you don't feel like going, you just go. Has anyone ever faced that? Like, you don't feel like going, and then you're just like, all right, I'm not going to go then. And then for the rest of the year, it's over. You pause your gym membership until July, you know, and then you just end up not going after that. Basically, even when you don't feel like it, you just do it. And if you don't do it, it's exactly as it sounds. You don't end up doing it. Now, if you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of James, it's very close to the end of the Bible there. James chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 22 to 25. James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Reads this. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Amen. What do you guys think when you read that? What are some like immediate thoughts that come to your heads?
Seems like a very simple concept.
Simple concept. Yeah. Very simple concept. Is there a hard part to it?
Doing it?
Doing it's the hard part. So it's simple. It's simple in its concept, but in carrying it out, it's hard. Why is that? Why is it hard to go to the gym when you make that resolution at the beginning of the year? Like, why is it hard to stay on that diet for the rest of the whole year? Why is it hard to do these things? What's that?
Temptation.
Temptation? Yeah. Definitely, there's some temptations that come. In terms of faith, definitely, there's temptations that come. You know, the word says, don't just listen to it, but do it. But temptation comes. What else? Laziness, definitely. Complacency. Seeps is something that I hear 100% of the time. It's a very Australian thing. Did you guys know that? No one says that in the world except in Australia. I remember when it first started up in Australia as well, and I thought our church came up with it. Like, this was a very naive thought that I had, but I remember one guy just started saying it one day, and then it just caught like wildfire. Everyone's like, yeah, I'm Siebs too. Me too. I'm also Siebs. And it's like, no one ended up doing anything ever. So stupid, right? But it's like, why do we have that mindset? We give practice to what we speak in that instance, that laziness that we have. What else? What else do you guys find it hard? What else makes it hard for you to do as the word says here? Rachel, you said you're doing well. Do you find it hard at all sometimes to do well, to be doing well in your relationship with God?
Yes, sometimes.
What makes it hard?
Sometimes I'm tired and sometimes I'm not in the mood.
Yeah. Just not in the mood sometimes. Just tired sometimes. Definitely. These are very common things that come up in the Christian life. And the Christian life is just like your normal life. And we separate these things very often. We kind of think of our natural lives here on earth as those things like exercising, practicing things, doing whatever it is that we do day to day. And then we think of our faith as another aspect of it sometimes, our spiritual lives, and we separate ourselves. And then it kind of drives us crazy in our minds because we see ourselves as two different people. But one side seems to be winning half the time. But we're really just one person, you know? We're really just one person living out this life. And so we do get tired. We don't feel like doing things when we're doing this faith life. Has anyone always felt like doing stuff, you know, when it comes to faith? Has anyone always felt like following after God? Like, that last song that we sang, can anyone honestly say there was no turning back for me at any point in my life? As you follow Christ. Like, our hearts have always turned back at some point. We found our hearts to turn away. This passage here, it's very simple, like William said. It's very clear. It says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. What does that look like? You know, does that look like your life sometimes? Like you're just listening to God's word, not doing what it says, and then you end up only fooling yourselves. I feel like this very often. You know, it says a certain thing here, and the Bible tells me all these different things. I know how I should behave as a child of God. I know what I should be doing, and I know how I should be living. And definitely I know what my relationship with God should be like. But oftentimes it goes neglected. You know, I end up doing other things. The other morning I woke up and played PlayStation for like an hour, and I don't know why. Like, that's all I did in the morning. That's what my life looks like a lot these days. But I knew what I should be doing. I knew. I actually had this thought when I woke up. I was like, alright, get up, make myself a cup of coffee, pray, read the Bible a bit, pray a little bit more. Because I had this real conviction, I really need to pray. I really need to pray these days. Not for anything in particular. Like, not for, you know, anyone with a pulse in particular or heartbeat in particular, but just pray and spend time with God. You know, it might seem like a foreign concept if you don't pray often, but that's what it basically means. Just having a conversation, right, with God. And having that time with God. And then, suddenly I find myself in this beanbag chair with a controller in my hands. And then, you know, it's already like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, whatever time it was when I finally stopped. So temptation comes, laziness comes, complacency just seems to seep in. But why is that? Does that mean that I'm only fooling myself? What does this mean here? If we listen to God's word and we don't do what it says, do we believe God's word? What do you guys think? And this isn't a trick question. I'm not going to be like, no, you're wrong, as soon as you say something. What are your opinions? If you hear God's word and don't do what it says, do you believe God's word?
Yes.
Yeah? Why?
I think it's a lot like... I would give an analogy. It's like, you know, eating certain foods will prevent you from getting cancer. Okay. You know it and you believe it, but you know you're going to do it. The It's like white rice and like brown rice. You know, brown rice is healthier and you believe it's true, but you still want to have the white rice.
Okay. Does white rice give you cancer?
Yeah, but like, no, it doesn't give you cancer, but apparently like having brown rice helps in preventing.
Helps preventing, okay. Okay, what if white rice gave you cancer?
Oof, tastes good.
You'd still eat it.
So you're just gonna die anyway.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Living very dangerously for some white rice.
YOLO.
Okay, so who agrees with that mindset then? Like, not in the white rice thing, but in basically you hear something and you believe it, but you still just go on and do it. Like, do you guys agree with that? Some of you guys don't. Does that mean we really believe it? Like, we might acknowledge it in our heads, but if we absolutely 100% know you eat this brown rice every day, you will never get cancer. Would you do it or not? 100%. And 100%, if you eat white rice every day, you're gonna get cancer by the age of 30. Would you do it or not? Probably not, right? Like, without that guarantee, we don't end up doing something. And we live on that guarantee of 100%, otherwise it's probably false. Even if it's 99% true, we probably won't do it. You know, we live by these weird kind of concepts that it might not be true. What else? In your opinion, so if you didn't agree, Rachel, like, in your opinion, then what do you think?
To give an example, like, in the Bible, it says if we, like, trust God and blah, 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 something good will follow. Like, if you don't trust God, you will never get that good thing or whatever comes after. But if you do trust God, then He will open your eyes to the fruits that, like, your trust has, you know, done. So if you don't do it, then how can you, without having experienced it first, how can you say that you believe it?
Okay. Yeah, so without living it out, how can you say you're really believing in it? Okay. Yeah, very good. Definitely. It seems like James is making that argument as well. You know, the other side of the coin is exactly as William said, that as believers, we say that we believe something, and then we don't live it out. And then as Rachel's saying, if you're a believer though, and you're not living it out, are you really a believer? Like, would you really say you're a believer then? Like, let's say that someone told you 100%, your house is gonna sink within like a year. Someday, somehow, you're not gonna know the exact time, but if you just keep sleeping in your house, one day, you're just gonna sink into the middle of the earth and melt. You know, if you really believed it, you'd leave that house right away. You'd be like, let's get out of here, you know, to your family. We gotta leave right now. And if you didn't believe it, you would keep on staying there, being complacent. Even if you convinced yourself in the back of your mind, it's probably true, but I can't yet. Then, are you really believing it or not? Verse 23 reads this, "For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror." And then verse 24 says, "You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like." Why I like to do a spiritual health check every now and then is because I'm prone to this, where I'll listen to the word, I'll hear what it says, and then I'll just kind of not live it out. I'll forget. I'll just move on with my life. But if I actually intentionally stop and look at myself and try to figure out, what is my relationship with God right now? What does that look like right now? Am I far from God? Am I actually living out this life or not? Then I actually end up applying that word. Have you ever looked in the mirror for a purpose? Like, you know, you can feel there's something stuck in your teeth. So you go to the mirror and you look, and sure enough, there it is. This giant green thing right here. And you know everyone else can see it. Whenever you're talking, whenever you're smiling, anything that you're doing. And then you look at it and then you go, there it is. And then you just walk away. You don't do anything about it. Hey man, how's it going? you know, just smiling at everyone. It's good to see you guys. It's like right here. It's like, ooh. Thank you, Bora, for supporting my example. You know, can you imagine that? Like, can you imagine how embarrassing it would be if you're at uni giving a presentation and you're just like smiling at everyone like, this is good, you know? Or Josh, you got an interview coming up. Can you imagine that 3-hour interview and you're just smiling the whole time and it looks like you're missing a tooth because there's this green thing right here. Like, who does that? Who goes to a mirror, sees himself, and then is like, man, I forget what I look like, and then just walk away? You know, it just seems so incredibly crazy that that would happen. But this is exactly what listening to the Word is like. The Word confronts us. You know, when the truth comes, oftentimes it confronts this lie that's inside of our hearts. That's why it's the truth, right? We have all these lies built up inside of us. We have all these sins, all these things that draw us away from God. John Calvin, this amazing theologian from before, he used to say something like, our hearts are idol-making factories. And basically, they're always at work creating idols. You know, we worship certain things in our lives. We think about money. We think about sex. We think about appearance. We think about power. We think about all these different things all throughout our lives. Success, whatever it might be. And we worship these things throughout our lives. And we forget about God. You know, we come in on Sunday, and then we sit down, we hear the Word, and we're like, oh yeah, that's right. Worship God, not money. I forgot about that. And then we get up, and then it's Monday. And we continue on with our lives like nothing happened. James here is telling us that that's like looking at yourself in the mirror and then forgetting what you look like. And then just going about with that big green thing stuck in your teeth. It doesn't make sense. So let's get some things out in the open. Okay? Like, I understand this might seem real risky. This might seem really different from how we usually run things. What are some things you struggle with? I think we're at a point with Pulse where we can get into this, where we can actually talk about things like this, where we can actually pray for each other and keep each other accountable.
I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I could do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin, as well as in my members. Wretched that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin.
Amen. This is our spiritual condition. You know, some of the things that we mentioned that we struggle with, and some of the things that you felt like, this is it, and you couldn't quite get it out of you tonight. This is it. This is our struggle right here. This is a human condition. Thank you, Julius. Like, when we read verses from James, and it reads, you're only fooling yourselves. If you listen to the Word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. It's not the most encouraging thing sometimes, especially if you're struggling. I agree with that. If I was struggling and someone told me that, I'll be like, man, it's not very compassionate. You know, Pastor Bernie this past week mentioned Job's friends. It would feel kind of like that. Bunch of truth coming my way, That is very unwelcome. But then that verse in Romans, Romans 7, it reads so human. Paul, this guy, this super Christian, saying, I struggle too. That's me too. I forget what I look like sometimes. So what you said, William, actually makes a lot of sense. When you say, it seems so simple, the concept. And not only that, I agree with it. But I still do other things. So yeah, brown rice might prevent cancer. But I'm not going to eat it. I'm going to eat white rice, which doesn't have very good health benefits. I'm going to keep doing it this way. Not because I want to sometimes. Sometimes I do want to. And then we just keep moving on from there. We just keep living our lives in that way. And Paul is saying the same thing. But if something has happened inside of us, if a change has come inside of us, we would agree, no, that's the wrong thing to do. And this is the right thing to do. Even if you end up doing something that's wrong, even recognizing that that's wrong, that's not you. That's not your conscience saying, well, that's not right. Because conscientiously, objectively speaking, does any of this seem right or wrong to you? Like if someone doesn't come to Pulse on Friday, does that seem right or wrong to you? It's not necessarily either. Or if someone doesn't pray every day, would you say that's wrong? What would you say to that? It's a little bit more complex. Or if you never read the Bible, what would you say to that? Would you say, well, you're not a Christian? Is that true or not? You know, these are the kind of uncomfortable questions that we come across sometimes that we might not be able to answer. But the Bible has the answer right there. You might not do these things. And James is very, very, it's very true what he's saying. If you're not living it out ever, if you're actually not going to be applying the word in your lives, maybe you should reassess when you look in the mirror and say, you're not a Christian. You don't actually believe. But if you're struggling with it, if that struggle is happening with comfort or pride or lust or money or success, and you're fighting it, but you're not managing it, then maybe you are following Christ, but it's just really hard. It might be very, very difficult, but there's hope. That last part of Romans, what Julius read there, I love that part when Paul says, but thanks be to God. Verse 25. Can someone read verse 25 again? Romans 7:25.
Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin.
Thanks be to God. Because in your spirit, you do desire to serve the law of the Lord. Even in James, verse 25, it says, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. The first part of that is very important. If you look into the perfect law, and no law is perfect without the fulfillment of that law, which is Jesus Christ. You know, we're not doing any of this by our own effort. We're not able to. You fought this yourself before. You know, those New Year's resolutions, you probably do need God's help to carry out some of those things. And it's the same thing with this Christian life, even more. We're not going to be carrying out this Christian life. We're not going to be living it out without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit. So when we pray in the beginning of the night, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Come fill this place. You know, come fill me. That's a real prayer that we need to pray. That's a real thing that we need to speak to the Lord. Because He's the one that's going to be leading us. He's the one that's going to be changing us inside. It's not going to be by our own effort. When you listen to God's word, I ask that you really do start applying it in that way, in prayer first. Because if you go about it another way, where you just think, all right, This past week, we talked about companionship. So I have to learn to be close to this body in this church to start learning how to be accountable to people. And you just start applying it, you're going to burn out at some point unless you really have that first commitment to the Lord. That first fruit is going to the Lord first. And the Holy Spirit is leading you in that. Look, what we're going to do, we're going to break off, okay? I want, you know, all the girls to be with other girls and the guys to be with other guys. And the group should be no bigger than 3 or 4 at most. And I want us to get real deep, okay? I don't want us to waste time in these things, but to really start sharing. You know what? This is what I struggle with. This is what I'm having a hard time with. Can you help me? Can you pray for me? Is that all right with you guys? Let me pray for us.